How would we grade Scott's service through the first 46 games of the 2023 season? That and more coming up here on Mailbag Monday. Colby, hit it.
You are Locked On Mariners, your daily Seattle Mariners podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, fifth time trying to record this one. Ahoy, sailors. It is Monday, May 22nd, 2023. Hopefully this is the one. This is Tiding Gonzalez and Colby Patinos for the Locked On Mariners podcast, brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your baseball franchise? It's been a day, folks. This game would be definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimatebaseballgm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game. Thank you so much for making us your first listen. Subscribe, like, and turn on alerts if you're watching on YouTube, or subscribe and leave a five-star review on your preferred podcast platform if you like what you hear. And if you're part of the crew and rock with us every single day, let us know in the comments below. And if you want to hear from us even more, please consider signing up for our Patreon by scanning the QR code. It's right above my head. You got that? You got that? Yeah, understood. The link, as well as our social accounts, is also in the description of this episode. And this episode is Mailbag Monday, the show where we answer your Mariners questions. If you couldn't tell, we're kind of overdoing this intro. We've done it five times now. Let's hop into these questions. Starting with Alex, what grade would you give Scott Service so far this year? And Colby, for the fifth time, I'm going to ask you, or rather the fourth time, one of the times we couldn't even get past the intro. But what would you give Scott Service in terms of a grade? Doesn't matter if it's 2080, letter grade, whatever. Just give us a grade.
Sure. Weird again. Something with that LK thing makes you just have to pronounce the L, but anyways, Scott's probably, I think I'd give him a 45 or 50, somewhere in that range. I really can't see going any lower, and I certainly can't see going any higher. You know, the team is hovering around 500. That's not where you want it. That's not where we wanted this team to be. But you know, that's where it is. And how much of that is on Scott? I don't think a whole heck of a lot. There's some minor things here and there. There's been a few times he's bunted, which didn't work out, which, because surprise, bunting always works. But he still likes to do that a little bit too much for my liking. There's some times where he tries to squeeze extra outs out of a starter with a rested bullpen that I don't like. And it's cost him a few times this year. But you know, it's also, you have to acknowledge that Scott's not playing with a full deck right now or a full roster. You know, he's lost Robbie Ray early on. Andres Munoz has only thrown like three innings this year so far. You know, you look at the bad years so far from Julio and Teoscar and Gino and Wong and Pollock. You know, we've had Cal Raleigh not really take another step forward. Ty France has been meh for large chunks of the season. You know, he's lost a couple of, you know, key bullpen guys from last year's bullpen, and yet the team is still hovering right around 500. And yeah, I mean, that says he's doing something right, but not everything. So I think 45, 50, I really can't see going any lower than 45. That doesn't make any sense to me, considering the hand that he's been dealt. He's playing it about as well as you could expect, but there are a few, you know, minor things here and there that, maybe hold the grade back a little bit. But yeah, I think it's a 45 to a 50, somewhere in that range. So just kind of average. There's been a lot of problems with this team early on, but Scott's service really isn't one of them. At least not enough that we should be talking about, you know, is he on the hot seat or any garbage like that? So, yeah, again, I'm never going to love in-game manager Scott Service. That's just a fact. I don't like half of what he does, but all the other stuff seems to be, you know, he's working it just fine, especially when you consider the hand that he's been dealt so far.
Of course. And I'm going to go 45 on this, pretty firm on that as well, because I do feel like the in-game decisions, the in-game issues have been a little more present early on here than maybe in over the last couple of years. I just feel like we're talking about Scott Service a lot more than we have in the past on this show. Maybe that's just headcanon, I don't know. But for me, I feel like we have talked about some things that we've had issue with Scott. Overall, though, you know, like you said, right, like this team is obviously not where we want it to be. It's also not a complete disaster. And the roster is fractured right now. No Robbie Ray, hardly any Andres Munoz, no Dylan Moore so far. There's been some key pieces to this team that were supposed to be key pieces to making this whole thing happen that are just that haven't been a part of it at all, really. So taking that context into account here, and taking in the fact that, you know, we don't really have any way to quantify what Scott and his staff, or how Scott and his staff have impacted individual players in both a positive and negative light. Because we're not there. We're not privy to a lot of information behind the scenes. I feel like I can't go too down on him here, but I also don't feel great about going super high on him either. Just going off of what I've seen with my own eyes and the information that we have available to us. But overall, I think he's done a decent enough job here to keep this team afloat. Hey, you know, look, there are two games under 500 right now, but if they have a decent series against Oakland this week, they're going to be right above 500. And again, it's not where you necessarily wanted them to be, but it's far from a disaster, and they still have a really clear path to making the postseason from that point. And we're not even a third of the way through the season yet. There's still a lot of baseball to be played. I know we keep on telling you guys it's early, it's early, or it's early. I know you guys are tired of it. And I know some of you are saying that I'm shilling for Scott Servais because I'm not crucifying him for the issues that have gone on with this team. But a lot of these things ultimately seem like they're things that are out of Scott's hands, things that he can't control. Because really what it comes down to is Julio needs to perform. Teo needs to perform. Teo has performed as of late, by the way. Good road trip for him. But these guys, you know, Gino has to perform. These guys have to show up. These guys need to start hitting like the back of their baseball cards say. And there's also some positive numbers as well, right? They're ahead of where they were in runs per game in 2021 and 2022. Like, that's not nothing. The pitching has been elite. It's been, you know, one of the three best pitching staffs in all of baseball from a pure F4 standard. So there's a lot of positives here that are happening as well, and they're going to get healthier. And they also have a lot of resources at their disposal to go out and get better, right? Obviously, what's on the market is going to be limited, or you're limited to what's available on the market, rather. But they have an opportunity to get better. This roster can be better just with what it has internally right now, what's going to come up through the farm system, what's going to get back to them via the injury report, all that stuff, or the injury list, all that. So overall, yeah, I don't feel too down on Scott Servais. Again, I'm pretty firm on that 45, though, because I feel like the in-game stuff has been a bit of an issue, and we've talked about him quite a lot on this show. But overall, I still feel pretty good about Scott. All right. Next question here comes from Dakota. Why is Sam Haggerty still on the roster? He plays once a week tops. Should Taylor Trammell be sent down if he has options? Jake Schiener / Mike Ford call up. Jerry specifically said that they would keep the DH position open, yet Gino has hardly seen any days off from the field. I think the thing with Haggerty really is that they don't value that 26 man. They're that fourth bench spot. Really, I think if it was up to them and the rules allowed them to do this, they would carry a ninth arm in the bullpen. And I just don't think that they value Haggerty, Ford, Shiner, etc., as someone that they would play, that they would make an exception to that rule for them. So I really think that they're just buying time until Dylan Moore is able to come back, which whenever that happens, he made it through the weekend in Everett on his pizza rehab. But yeah, I don't know. How do you feel, Colby?
Yeah, it certainly does seem like they just don't plan on using that spot ever anyways. And obviously, like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the Mariners would really like their 26-man roster to consist of 14 pitchers, 12, you know, offensive players. But the rules won't allow it. And now you kind of look at what the bench looks like now. You know, it's Murphy, it's Wong, it's, you know, Pollock or Trammell. Like, those guys are all going to get at bats over, you're going to pick all those guys over Haggerty anyways. I think Haggerty needs to be sent down as soon as possible, which, I mean, for me was like a week ago. just because you want to see if you can get something out of Haggerty that helps you at the major league level. And the only way you can do that is to get him consistent at bats, but you can't really do that right now because your offense is, you know, really inconsistent and Haggerty hasn't produced at all. So how do you get this guy every day at bats? You send him down to AAA and you just let him play for a month and you see if you can get anything out of him. My guess is they'll wait until Dylan Moore is ready. I think they're going to probably rush Dylan Moore. You know, you get 20 days. I think he probably should spend, you know, all 20 rehabbing that injury. But I think Tacoma is in town until Friday. So wouldn't be too shocked if Dylan Moore saw, you know, the Mariners, saw Seattle in the weekend series against Pittsburgh. We'll see how it works. Obviously, he's got to get through the next couple outings. Okay. But again, he didn't get pulled. He didn't have an unscheduled day off this weekend like he did in his last rehab stint. So that's at least good news. And Dylan Moore should help. Obviously, he's not going to save the city or anything like that, but, you know, he should help. He's a useful player.
That is the nicest thing you've said about Dylan Moore on this show.
Yeah, I know. I was defending Dylan Moore and the baseball thing Slack last night, and it felt really weird.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I'd like that to stop. So, but it only stops when they finally send down Haggerty. So, my guess is that they look at Ford and they say, you know, we're not even going to use him anyways. And especially at this point, like, what is Mike Ford going to get if we call him up right now? One at bat before we send him back down for Dylan Moore on Friday. It's just not worth it. So yeah, to me, I think they're just holding on, which I don't like, but I think that's what they're doing. I think they're just holding on for Dylan Moore before they start using that 26th spot.
Well, Colby, we are now officially in uncharted waters. This is the farthest we've gotten in this recording. So hopefully I didn't jinx it. Hopefully we are on the track to finishing this one out. We're going to get to more questions in just a moment, but real quick, a reminder, this episode of Locked On Mariners is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your baseball franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. Manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through the season, and lead your team to glory. You're responsible for hiring the right coaches and staff, managing team finances, scouting and drafting players, managing difficult personalities, navigating your franchise through free agency, and all the ups and downs of a season. All this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable offline, or you can play on the go as you want and when you want. It's basically the Jerry DePoto simulator. So instead of saying "Chills, DePoto did it again," you can now say "Chills, I did it again." Download it now, and Locked On Mariners listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com, scan the code, or look it up on the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. Ultimate Baseball GM, start your dynasty today. Colby, I really missed our synchronized pointing. Glad that Ultimate Baseball GM is back in the mix here. This episode of the Locked On Mariners podcast is also brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, and chances are you're one of them. Like that Stars app just to watch one show, or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you, and for any you don't want to pay for anymore, just hit cancel and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It's that easy. Rocket Money also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorize your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/LockedOnMLB. That's rocketmoney.com/LockedOnMLB. You got it, Colby? Oh, you need it one more time? rocketmoney.com/LockedOnMLB.
There it is.
And you're listening to the Locked On Mariners podcast. Thank you again for making us your first listen here on Mailbag Monday. Let's get back into these questions. This one comes from Accent. Heard some rumblings about Jonathan Class A being a top 50 prospect in the game right now. Is this somewhat accurate or more like top 100? Notice he's striking out 29% of the time. Is that something scouts take a lot into consideration, or not so much since he's almost 21 or not even 21 in AA? He's actually striking out like 32.5% of the time now. So I don't know if this question is outdated or the numbers you were looking at were outdated or something. He's striking out 32% of the time. Great start to the year, nonetheless, but yeah, striking out 32% of the time, Jonathan Clase is not a top 100 prospect in the game. One of the better off-field prospects in the Mariners system, but not a top 100 prospect in the game right now.
I think the 29 probably comes from combining his high A and double A strikeout rate. So I think his season is probably 29, but he's at 32.4 in double A. So, it's a good start to the season, certainly for Clase, and he's a fun player. He's a really good athlete. He's showing some, you know, power that wasn't really there per se, you know, before this year. It really is surprising power, but strikeouts are a concern for Clase. He's yet to really wow people, scouts in particular, in center field. It kind of seems like he's a fringy center field glove at this stage. Still could get better because it's not a speed problem. It's more of a you know, fundamentals and routes problem. So still get better out there. But right now he's kind of profiling more as a, you know, corner outfielder, which is fine. But that means you have to hit for power in your profile to be a really good corner outfielder. And while he's doing it right now, the swing and miss numbers in the minors do kind of point to some regression coming. Can he hit 20, 25 home runs playing right field while, you know, striking out less than 30% of the time? If he can, fine. And then he's probably an everyday player. But we don't know that because, you know, the strikeout rates have gone up. You know, but you repeated high A and they stayed about the same. We jumped up to double A. They've gone up. We'll see where they are in a couple months. But no, Clase is not a top 100 prospect. I don't think if I felt really good about his ability to stay in center, then I think maybe you could argue it. But when he moves to a corner, if he has to, that's a lot of pressure on the bat and striking out 33% of the time and hitting 12 home runs, which I think is where a lot of people see his, you know, saw his big league power before this, you know, hot start. Then that's not an everyday player. That's a quad A type of guy. So we'll see. Clase's got a lot of work to do. Obviously it's encouraging that he's off to a pretty good start this year. But his double A numbers, obviously not as good as his high A numbers, and we'll see where they are in a couple months. But no, Clase is not a guy who's going to jump to the majors or anything like that this year. And he's not a top 100 type for me. He's fringe top 10 in the Mariners system, and the Mariners don't have 9 top 100 prospects. So
agreed. It's pretty crazy to see what speed does, like high end speed does at the, especially at the bottom levels of the minor leagues. Yeah. He's played in 37 games this year. He has 28 stolen bases.
He had 55 last year.
28 stolen bases in 37 games. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's like 70, 80 grade speed. The interesting thing though is that based on what I know about Clase, and again, it's not like I've seen him a ton, but he's not really considered to be like a good base stealer per se. Like, he puts up numbers, like his 55 bags, you're at least pretty good at it, but he's not a great base runner. It's mostly speed right now, and he's not getting great, you know, jumps off the bag, and you know, he's very raw.
It's tools over technique.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, you know, again, going back to the conversation about center field for him, he has all the speed to cover ground out there. It's just from a technical standpoint, there's some questions about whether or not he can actually do it.
Right. And so, yeah, it's the freak athlete. It's the freak wide receiver who's 6'5", 240 and runs a 4.29 40, but he doesn't know how to run any route other than a slant. Like, it's like at some point you're just going to get bottled up, and that's kind of what Clase is right now. Thankfully, you know, he is only 20 years old, and you do have some time. So it's obviously encouraging what he's done so far, but let's pump the brakes a little bit on the Clase hype. It's a bit premature at this stage.
Next question here comes from Bree. Do you think Tom Murphy should have been benched after giving up running on that ball he hit that could have had him out or had him on first base? I'm shocked to see this attitude. Is Cal hurt? But then Cal did come into the game and caught for the last half inning. He pinch hit for Murphy in the eighth. But he has been dealing with neck spasms. He didn't start yesterday and he didn't start the day before. So maybe he was starting to feel a little bit better later on in the game and they just went for it. They needed the offense, whatever. But I think that was kind of a last ditch resort. I think if it was ultimately up to Scott Servais, he wouldn't have played Cal Raleigh in that game. And that probably played a pretty large part into not disciplining Murphy during that. But also we've talked about this. Scott isn't really big on disciplining guys in the public eye.
Yeah.
During games, right? Colby, you know, said that Gino should have been benched for getting picked off by Corbin Burns back in that Brewer series in mid-April. Servais didn't do it. I have no doubt in my mind that he does, you know, have talks with these guys about things behind closed doors, but he's never been the type to do that. So I wasn't surprised that Murphy wasn't benched or disciplined in any sort of way for that. But yeah, that was pretty disappointing to see him not run that ball out, to give up on it, especially when, you know, right. By the way, what was going on there next to third base? Because Gino slipped the half inning beforehand, and then Riley did on that play as well. Mm-hmm. Also, did he actually catch it and it was just he dropped it on the transfer? So was
it's
there,
kind of tough to tell on the it was a line drive. I think he initially caught it, but he didn't like complete the catch or whatever. So when you watch the replay, Murphy hits it. He sees the ball go into his glove and he puts his head down and immediately starts to go back. And then he realizes, oh, that ball's live. And then he starts to still jog to first. But like at that point, you're out anyways. But yeah, so it was a little tough to tell. You know, at this stage, I was watching on my phone at a family event. So I was, you know, kind of trying to do a little bit of both, but yeah, it looked like he initially caught it. And then like as he was catching it, his like foot gave out and he dropped the ball. So I don't know if like he probably would have been safe if he had busted out of the box, but you know, it would have been actually pretty close. And yeah, I think if Cal was, you know, 100% and they felt good that he could catch what 7 innings at that time, then he probably would have been in the lineup, but obviously they didn't. And you're not just going to run the risk that hopefully Cal's neck holds out for 7 innings so that we can teach Tom Murphy a lesson. Because then what if you have to take Cal out and it's a 3-2 game and it's like, you're screwed. So yeah, I'm not all that surprised that he didn't make that move. But he definitely had words with Tom. I can guarantee you that after the game. And you know, Tom's a smart guy. He's a clubhouse leader type. He knows too. So yeah, I'm not surprised.
That was likely just a lapse, not something that's a long-term issue in any sort of way. And that's also another reason why I'm like, okay, you probably didn't even need to bench him in that situation. He knows that he messed up in that moment and just don't do it again.
Right. Yeah. Still frustrating, but
yeah, absolutely. Overall,
there's nothing really to blame Scott on in that particular case.
Sure. All right, got a few more questions coming up here in just a moment, but real quick, a reminder, this episode of Locked On Mariners is brought to you by So Rare. Our new sponsor, So Rare, is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace, transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 Major League Baseball teams. And unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there's no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next level competitions and rewards. So Rare MLB game weeks happen twice weekly and span a 3-4 day cycle. And at the end of game week, So Rare MLB managers who rank at or near the top of their leaderboards win a variety of rewards, which can include So Rare scarcity cards, game tickets, merchandise, signed jerseys, and VIP experiences like meeting MLB stars. Prizes may vary depending on the competition. Head to sorare.com/lockedon. That's spelled SORARE.com to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that's sorare.com/lockedon to start playing today. And you're listening to the Locked On Mariners podcast. Thank you again for making us your first listen. You can catch the Mariners and the A's tonight on the Mariners hometown broadcast with SiriusXM via the SXM app. check it out. Let's get back into these questions here, Colby. We got one here from Lance who asks, do you see any of the recent DFAs, Aaron Hicks, Brett Phillips, Eric Hosmer, Jake Mariznick, Miguel Andujar, being a fit or worth taking a chance on? Colby, you given any thought to any of these guys? Actually, no, I know you have. I know you have because we had a long conversation about this on our CTZ live stream on Friday. So please spread your Eric Hosmer propaganda. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. The answer is no. Okay. I just know Ty hates Eric Hosmer. So right. It's always fun to poke that bear. Mm-hmm. Of all the guys that were DFA'd, if I had to pick one that made the most sense, probably Hosmer. But yeah, so.
Yeah.
No, I don't see anybody recently DFA'd that makes a ton of sense. Also, you know, you're not going to claim any of those guys because then you're responsible for the remainder of their salary. So you just wait for them to clear. And if you want them, then you offer them the deal and you get them for the prorated league minimum. But I think Hosmer was already making the minimum this year. So if they want to claim them, fine, whatever. But no, I don't think you're going to find your answer to the offensive problems out on the waiver wire. Certainly not with the outfielders. Your outfield's already pretty stacked up with better options. So nope, nothing really happened that caught my eye. But again, you know, if I had to pick one that made the most sense out of that group, honestly, it's probably Hosmer, and that's weird. But
yeah,
I like Brett Phillips, but the dude cannot hit.
No, he's bad. Yeah. Great dude, really funny dude. Mm-hmm. Seems like he has a good heart, all that, but.
Run space as well, play some pretty good defense, but he cannot hit.
He cannot. All right. Next question comes from Bryson. Do you think our only way to a postseason berth is with a division title? The change in scheduling with every team playing each other does not let the AL East beat each other up like last year. Here's the thing on the AL East. There's still a lot of flaws with quite a few of those teams. Even Baltimore, who became the second team in all of baseball to reach 30 wins, I believe, yesterday or the day before, joining the Rays, who so happened to be four games ahead of them in the division, which is wild to me. They've been incredible. The Orioles pitching staff, or particularly that rotation, is a pretty major issue. And their owner has been, for lack of a better word, cheap in the past and hasn't been willing to spend and invest in this team. And he wasn't willing to do that this past offseason after they surprised everyone by nearly making the postseason. Is he going to be willing to do that now? Is he going to be willing to say, to give the okay to go out and acquire someone like Corbin Burns? Because I mean, the Orioles do have the firepower to go out and do really whatever they want on the trade market. Mm-hmm. They're one of the best farm systems in all of baseball, but are they actually going to be allowed to go out and do that and add a year and a half of Corbin Burns at the money that he's making and, you know, potentially have that conversation about extending him. Right. Yeah. So that's kind of my main issue with Baltimore. Boston still has a lot of holes. They're kind of overachieving right now relative to the way that their roster is constructed. Great offense so far. And unfortunately the Mariners had to see that firsthand, especially over those last couple of games in that series, but that pitching staff, particularly that bullpen, pretty big issue for Boston. So I don't know how that's going to hold up over the course of the summer. And then the Yankees, for whatever reason, I mean, they have a lot of talent, but they can't stay healthy. And that's been an issue for them over the last few years. I don't know what the hell is going on over there. I don't know what's in the water in New York, but for some reason, those guys just cannot stay healthy altogether. So that's the big question there. And even the Blue Jays, outside of like four guys, not really hitting right now. Their pitching staff is still kind of a mess. You know, overall, a lot of talent on that roster. Some guys that are severely underachieving.
They have an awful manager.
Terrible manager who has big Phil Nevin vibes.
Yep. Like,
yeah. They're quickly becoming the Grizzlies of Major League Baseball.
It's, and this is why we talk about it's a long season that doesn't only apply to the Mariners, you know, getting back to a spot where they look like a good team. It also applies to teams that we thought were going to be, you know, okay, but not great, kind of sliding back into their roles. Now, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes teams, you know, they exceed expectations for the entire year. It certainly happens. But like, what seems more likely, that the Rangers are going to average 6.5 runs per game all year, or that they're going to regress and they're going to go through a rough patch at some point? Like, we saw the Astros, they were bad, for just as bad as the Mariners, for just as long. And now they won 8 out of 9 out of 10 because you look at they're playing Colorado and Oakland and Kansas City a bunch. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, the Mariners can still do that. So,
and they've gotten Chaz McCormick back and they've gotten Jose Altuve back, you know?
Right. So, yeah, no, it's a long season. We keep talking this. I know people don't like to hear it, but it still is a long season and it is still relatively early. So there's plenty of time for teams to come back to the pack a little bit. And if you're the Mariners, you really can't care what other teams are doing. You just have to try and get to 90 wins, give yourself a shot, and you see where you are, you know, in July and again in September. You just kind of see where you're at that time. So, no, I don't think they have to win the division to get into the playoffs. I would like them to win the division, but I don't think they have to get in. But we'll see. You never know. It seems unlikely that every team in the American League East is going to win 88 games, you know, this year. That just doesn't typically work itself out. And obviously you don't have to worry about anybody in the Central right now. So it's a long season.
Yeah. So, well, and that's the thing too, right? Like Cleveland's incredibly talented, but they've struggled as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that I don't know if that's going to last forever. So maybe the Central does end up becoming a tiny bit of a problem for the Mariners from that perspective. But, you know, as for the AL East, you know, my whole dissection of that group of teams is a long-winded way to say, I think those guys are going to fall back to the pack a little bit and the Mariners are going to be able to play catch up. And I don't think that the Mariners' only path to making the postseason for the second straight year is by winning the division. Be really nice if they did do that. And I think they have a pretty good shot at doing that still, even with the disappointing start to the year. But I don't think that's the only way that they're going to be able to get in.
We'll have a much better idea of that in about 2 months. When we get to about 10 days before the deadline, we'll have a pretty good idea and what their path is, if there is a path.
Yeah, and it really comes down to, do I think the Orioles are a significantly better team than the Mariners? No. Do I think the Red Sox are a significantly better team than the Mariners? No, I don't. I think the Mariners, like on paper, their roster, better than Boston's. Mm-hmm. So it's just right now things aren't clicking. Things are clicking for Boston, and those things tend to balance out more often than over the course. So yeah. All right. Next question here comes from Peter. Peter wants to know, assuming a demo activation this week and with Tacoma at home through Friday, what moves would you make this homestand to reconfigure the roster? And how would you space them out? You call up someone on Monday, another one later in the week. Coley, what do you think?
You get the best 26 guys you can on your roster as soon as you can. So when you think Dylan Moore is ready, he's the move for Sam Haggerty. If that's on Tuesday, you do it on Tuesday. If that's on Friday, you do it on Friday. If that's next Wednesday, you do it then. I think when you look at the bullpen, right, Flexen shouldn't be on this roster. He shouldn't have been on the roster last week. He shouldn't have been on the roster the week before. We've been over this. Pick a bullpen arm, put him on this roster, DFA Chris Flexen. It's not that difficult. So for me, I don't care how you space them. I want the 26 best guys I have on my 40-man to be on this major league roster. And if that means they all happen on Wednesday, then so be it. If that means one happens today and one happens on, you know, May 30th, then fine, whatever. But yeah, Moore to me is the easy one. It's Haggerty for Moore. It's a no brainer. You know, you guys know, I don't think Haggerty should be on this roster at all. And then the bullpen one is pretty easy too. Right now, Flexen, we don't know where Murphy and Munoz are in terms of how close they are. But Flexen's the dead weight there in the bullpen. So you dump him, and who's next up on the list? Perlander Barroa. So he should probably be the move there. But we'll see. I just think those are really the only two moves. I don't think they're going to, you know, send down Trammell. I don't think they're going to DFA any of the vets. And it's hard to imagine that they're going to send down anybody other than Flexen in the bullpen right now, because Saucedo's throwing the ball well. You know, Spire and Topa have had kind of a rough week. Okay. That's going to happen, but you're not giving up on a reliever after his last, you know, two outings. That's not what good teams do. So, we'll see, but I think it's just probably those two moves, and I don't care how you space them.
Well, Colby, I didn't think we would make it to this moment about 30-ish minutes ago, but we're here. Final question of the day. And that honor belongs to Jace, who asks, if Caballero keeps producing and getting on base, or Bade, as he typed here, what role does Colton Wong play? Is he likely to be traded, or does he become a utility / DH guy?
Well, he's certainly not likely to be traded.
yeah.
So not with his numbers.
Yeah.
not really much of a utility guy either. You can't really play shorts. He could stand at shortstop if you need him to. You don't want him playing third. He's never played the outfield before. So I think you just kind of roll with what's been working right now, and some kind of a platoon. It's not always based on handedness, but you continue to use Wong, you know, a couple times a week.
A vibes platoon.
Sure. But, you know, you continue to use Wong a couple times a week at second base. I would give him starts at DH, you know, on occasion. I don't think that Trammell has run away with that opportunity against all righties. He should be the DH. And obviously, I think, you know, Pollock should play a little bit too. So, no, you can still get at-bats for Colton Wong. You can still get him 3-4 starts a week pretty easily if you need him to. So, yeah, I think you're just right now, you're just kind of picking your spots. You're trying to give him the best chance to succeed. You're also letting him rest that wrist a little bit, which he kind of came back a little early from, earlier than he should have probably. And we know how tough that injury is. So I think you're just going to use Wong matchup based, for now. And then you hope that he gets in a little bit of a groove. And if he does, then, you know, you could just move Caballero to shortstop. If you want to play Wong and Caballero in the same game, you can move Cabby to third and give Gino a day off, or give Gino a DH day. You could put Dylan Moore back in the outfield and give somebody else and, you know, you could have Wong play second, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's not going to be that hard to get Wong enough at-bats to give him a decent shot to see if he can figure something out. But, you know, that's up to the Mariners. We've kind of seen them already fail at that once with Tommy La Stella. So we'll see. But at least Wong can throw a baseball. So that's something Tommy La Stella could not do. So. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, once or twice a week at second base, once or twice a week at DH, and give them another month, see what happens, and then you can make your moves from there.
We did it. It's over. Finally made it to the finish line. That's going to do it for our show. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Mariners podcast. For Colby Patnode, I'm Tyden Gonzalez. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @LO_Mariners. You can follow me at Dane Gonzalez, that's DaneGNZLZ, and Colby at CPAT11, that's CPAT11. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok as well over at Locked On Mariners. That's one word, Locked On Mariners. You can also find all that stuff in the description of this episode. Thank you again for making us your first listen. Have yourself a beautiful baseball day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.